The verse in Paul's letter to the Philippians that I want to focus our attention on this morning is the first verse, verse 4 in chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And I will say it again. Paul says, rejoice. Reality TV, it dominates the cable networks. You've probably seen the plethora of reality shows that are on right now, whether it's Survivor, The Bachelorette, The Bachelor, The Housewives of New Jersey, or The Biggest Loser. The ratings are high and millions of people tune in to see who will be voted off next week. The new spiritual authorities are the producers of these shows and we are their followers. What bothers me a little bit about these shows is that they bring out sometimes the worst in human nature, however. They bring out that lust we have for pleasure and power and sometimes the overt worship of the almighty dollar. In real life, we know that life isn't quite like that, though. We know that there are broken relationships. We know that people are going through divorces, that there are job losses, that there are all kinds of things that break people's spirits. In real lives, there are fathers and sons and daughters and mothers who dump on each other all of the time. They don't get along. There's real pain in the world as we know it. And as we feel ourselves sometimes to be cast off or thrown out or not wanted, these shows do speak to that tendency. In the context of our scripture lesson this morning, Paul was being voted out, you might say. Paul was in a Philippian jail, awaiting extradition and a certain death sentence in Rome. Paul, who had been preaching and teaching the gospel, Paul, who himself had once persecuted the church, had killed Christians in the name of God and was now himself in a very disparate situation and about to be voted off the show, wrote these amazing words to his friends and colleagues and parishioners in the church in Philippi. He wrote these marvelous things and he says, even if you have been voted off, rejoice in the Lord always. Even if you've been laid off, rejoice in the Lord always. Even if cancer has found its way into your body, rejoice in the Lord always. Even if you are misunderstood or if you have been gossiped about, talked about, rebuked, rejoice in the Lord always. Wow, it's a tall order. Paul says, I have looked at the worst that life can bring. I have been through good times and I have been through bad. And I have come to the conclusion that there's only one thing you can do, he says, and that is rejoice in the Lord always. As my father likes to say, you know, it's time to laugh because you're not going to get out of this alive. I want to suggest four things, four rules for us who are trying to do more than merely survive on this reality show we call life and what the abundance of Christ really can offer us when we do what Paul suggests we do. The first thing I want to suggest is that Paul says that in every instance, with no exceptions, we are to rejoice. Not sometimes, but always, always is a spiritual discipline, which means we are to rejoice whether we like it or feel like it or not. We're not always going to feel like praying, but pray anyhow. We're not always going to feel like coming to church, but come anyhow. We're not always going to feel like giving, but give anyway. We're not always going to feel like rejoicing, but Paul says rejoice whether or not you feel like it. Because feelings come and they go all of the time. Feelings are based on so many different factors, you see. But the Bible doesn't command us to feel like rejoicing or feel like loving. It says that rejoicing and love and forgiveness and all the things that Jesus talks about is a decision that we make, is an act of the human will and mind. None of us have any difficulty, do we? Rejoicing when things are going our way, when we're not voted off the show, when we're celebrating life's miracles and blessings, we all naturally rejoice. But what happens when our health fails, or when we get laid off, or our kids are not acting the way we would hope that they would? It's an act of faith to rejoice when we don't feel like it. It's an act of trusting in Jesus. It's a declaration that our trust isn't in our feelings, because they can change moment to moment, but rather it is in God who remains the same today and tomorrow. The second rule I would suggest for us is, why should we rejoice? What's the point in it? What's the benefit to us? And I believe that rejoicing is a spiritual discipline, just like fasting or prayer or meditation or coming to worship. And what it does for us is it lowers the intensity of the issues and the situations that we face in our lives. It gives us some distance and perspective. The context that Paul is trying to deal with is the disunity that's occurring in the Philippian church. You know, we forget and think that Paul had it easy sometimes, but Paul's churches were a lot in turmoil. It seems like there's some personality clashes going on in the church that Paul has served. Paul says, I don't know who's right, and I don't know who's wrong, but if your attitudes were based in the Lord, the disagreements you're going through, Paul says, in essence, would be far less intense. So Paul tells them to rejoice again, to think on these things, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, whatever is pure, whatever is kind, gentle, all of those things. Put your mind on those things. Think on these things. It's a choice. Rejoicing lowers the intensity of the situations we find ourselves in. Rejoicing puts us into contact with God. If brothers and sisters would rejoice more, there would be far fewer problems, I think, in the body of Christ, Paul says. More often than not, the disharmony that we experience in churches has to do with misplaced personal feelings and issues that we bring into the life of the church. In other words, people won't or don't resolve the issues in their personal lives. They often don't go and become reconciled with their neighbor before they put their gift on the altar, so to speak. Instead, they bring them into the church, and that's where they play themselves out. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't issues in any church that aren't legitimate issues that should be discussed and talked through, but most of the church issues that I've ever come across, most of the conflicts I've seen in churches, are over personalities and not over Christian principles. Paul reminds us that it's not the issue that causes the problem. Everybody has issues. What's causing the problem is a personal investment by us that causes our anxiety rise around issues that we argue over because we invest ourselves in the issue. We put our egos behind the issues. The assumption being that what's really at stake, therefore, isn't my position on an issue, which could be right or wrong, but my very personhood that is being challenged and threatened. I'm the one who's being challenged. I'm the one who's being told that I'm wrong. I'm the one that's not needed anymore. That's what we tell ourselves. Mind you, none of that is being said overtly to us, but that's the assumption that we put on what's being said. So the issues such as more people in the decision-making process really ends up being about not an issue of involving more people, but whose toes am I going to step on? Not what's best for the church. And we end up fighting, therefore, over turf and territory. Well, we don't want to upset this person by doing this. And it's this emotional intensity that we carry with us that make issues difficult to resolve because we're too invested in them. And if we could lower that emotional intensity, we could resolve the issues fairly easily. I look at our session. I can't think of too many issues where we've not been unanimous in 18 years. 18 years, we've reached consensus on almost any issue we've had to deal with. That's remarkable. If we would rejoice, we'd be easier to deal with as human beings. If we would rejoice, we wouldn't be so uptight as Christians. If we would rejoice, we'd let more things roll off our back like water off a duck. Now, number three, Paul says, rejoice in our sufferings. What? That's right. Rejoice in your sufferings. And what he means here is to be worthy of your suffering. Rejoice in the Lord always. And Paul adds a phrase of emphasis. And again, I will say it, rejoice. I believe that there is this gap between the rejoice in the Lord always gap. And I will say it again, rejoice. There's this gap, which are our real life experiences in that gap. Nobody gets through life without suffering. Nobody. I don't care how good looking you are. I don't care how much money or power you have. Tragedy is an absolute, and every one of us will have to deal with it. The question is, are we worthy of our sufferings? Are we worthy of what God gives us in this life? Elie Wiesel, one of my favorite authors and people for that matter, survivor of Auschwitz, winner of the Nobel Peace Prize, wrote, "We who lived in the concentration camps can remember the ones who walked through the huts comforting other people, even though they too were suffering, giving away their last piece of bread. They may have been few in number, but they offered sufficient proof that everything can be taken from a person but one thing: the last human freedom available, the ability to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose how one will respond to what is happening to one's life. In the final analysis, it becomes clear that the sort of person the prisoner became was a result, Wiesel says, of an inner decision towards God. To be able to be in a concentration camp and comfort others is to be worthy, certainly. And most of us will never have to face anything close to that. Many of us suffer and we cop out. We quit. Many of us suffer and we get bitter. All options to us. Many of us are hurt and we become vindictive. I want to get even for that. Oh, but to be worthy of your sufferings, that is a real work of God in your life. To be worthy of what Jesus went through, to be worthy of being praised as God's beloved son or daughter, to be blessed even when you've been cursed, to love even when you've been hated, to forgive even when you've been wronged. Now you're talking God. Now you're in the image of God when you act that way. You're worthy of being with God. Learn from your sufferings, therefore, and be transformed by them. Allow them to give you compassion. Allow them to be able to give you wisdom about the reality of life. And it can deepen your faith and bring you much closer to God the way it did Job. And it can do the same, therefore, from you to others. You can incarnate God the way Jesus did. Now, number four and last, but not least, rejoice in the Lord. Notice it doesn't say rejoice in your bank account. Notice that it doesn't say rejoice in your good looks. They're going to pass. Or your accomplishments. They're yesterday. It doesn't say anything like that. It says instead rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the ability of God to heal and to deliver. Rejoice in the power of God to make a way out of no way. Rejoice in that which is greater than yourself, that can lift you to new heights and take you to places you've never dreamed possible. Rejoice in God's ability to carve a tunnel of hope into the mountain of despair that you may face. Whatever the circumstances, therefore, whatever the circumstances, I've learned, Paul says, to be content. I know what it's like to have everything go my way, and I know what it's like to be voted off the show. And in all of this, I've come to be closer to God, Paul says, because I know how to get to God quicker than I used to. I don't make the same mistakes I used to. I make new ones. I learn from those. We all will. But rejoice in it, because that's the nature of life. My joy doesn't depend on circumstances. My joy doesn't depend on feelings. My joy depends upon the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth. The Lord God Almighty, as Paul says, the Lord of hosts, the Lord who commands the earth and it shakes its very foundations. So if by chance you find yourself with cancer, you find your hair falling out because of the chemotherapy treatments, if you find yourself without work, if you find yourself lonely or feeling like you're not wanted or needed, feeling like you've been voted off the show because of your age, allow the Spirit of God to heal your spirit. That's what God wants to do. He wants to heal us. And again, I will say it, rejoice in the Lord always. Amen.